This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the start of a work week, folks. It is Monday, March 24th. Steve Geller with Charlie Long bringing you till 6:30 this evening. That's when we got some Pelicans basketball. The Birds are back home in the Smoothie King Center. They are taking on the Philadelphia 76ers this evening. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off on the Big 870 AM and 105.3 FM. Keeping an eye on the LSU ladies in action right now. Tigers up 58-51. We're in the third quarter of that matchup in the PMAC. The winner moving on to the Sweet 16, and boy, this one has been back and forth. At one point early on, I saw the Tigers were up 10, and I was like, all right, here come the Bayou Bengals cruising. Florida State fought all the way back, and at one point in the second quarter, were up by one, but the Tigers right now have that seven-point lead. We'll be keeping you updated throughout the rest of this show as we gear up for Pelicans basketball, like I said, starting up tonight at 6:30 on WWL. Big one today was the introduction of Brandon Cooks, reintroduction, I should say, of Brandon Cooks. The 2014 first-round pick of the Black and Gold is back in New Orleans, inking a two-year deal to join Kellen Moore's offense. We'll be excited to see what he has left in the tank and what he can do for this Black and Gold bunch now with Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and you'd imagine that I would say Cooks is that third option now with this squad, and they still need that big physical wide receiver in this lineup, though, and we'll be interested to see if maybe they can find, I don't know, free agency or in the draft.
Third option for now. We'll see what they do, because as you mentioned, it's got a lot of speed. You and Jeff talked about this on Friday. You know, not a lot of size, not a lot of physicality, and you still have question marks in the wide receiver room right now.
Sure.
Which is why a lot of mocks are saying, oh, Tet McMillan to the Saints at pick 9 makes a lot of sense. That's if he'll be there, though. I'm really kind of not sure. A couple teams in front of the Saints could potentially take Tet.
It's been hit or miss in those simulated mocks I've done if he is or isn't there. There's times he is.
A couple of those teams, though, Steve, like the Patriots at pick 4, seem like the potential ceiling for him. And that's if they, I mean,
yeah,
depending on what happens to the top 3 picks as well and how it shapes up. Because if Travis Hunter or obviously Abdul Carter are there, the Patriots would likely pick either one of those players over someone like Tet McMillan. But who knows? You know, I think the Jags are okay in their wide receiver room. Brian Thomas Jr. had a breakout rookie campaign. He was fantastic for him just this past season. But at 6, you have the Raiders, who are kind of missing that true wide receiver 1. Jacoby Myers is a good wide receiver 2. They could potentially draft Tet. I know that they've been tied very often to, you know, Ashton Jeanty in the running back at pick 6, but we'll see what happens there. At pick 7, you know, maybe the Jets could take a look at Tet McMillan. They kind of need pass catcher. They've really been tied with Tyler Warren. I've been seeing a lot of mocks that have the Penn State tight end going to them at pick 7. And then at pick 8, I mean, the Carolina Panthers. I remember we interviewed Dez Johnson from the Believe in Panthers podcast, Steve, a couple weeks back about free agency and how it was going in the NFC South. And Dez said with all the money that the Panthers spent on defense, it kind of opened up their options a little bit with the 8th overall pick that they didn't need to go defense. Now, their biggest need is probably still pass rusher. Going with an edge at pick 8 would make a lot of sense. But if they decide not to do it, getting a big X receiver for Bryce Young to help his development further would make sense to me. So, yes, Tet McMillan to the Saints at pick 9 would be awesome. And it fills a giant hole in that wide receiver room, something that they don't have right now. But at the same time, a lot of these teams above them could also potentially add or use a true X receiver, so to speak. So we'll see if he's there.
You know, meetings don't mean much. There's always meetings going on, but it was interesting today. Of course, everyone jumps on it. Albert Breer of Monday morning quarterback put out there that the Saints were meeting tonight with the quarterback from Texas, Quinn Ewers. But, you know, like I said, meetings happen all the time in the NFL. Doesn't really mean a whole ton.
I think a lot more people were kind of freaking out about the fact that a lot of Saints folks were going to Miami.
Right?
And so Mike and I talked a lot about that because there is precedence of moving up, and recent precedence as well, from pick 9 to pick 1. That's exactly what the Chicago Bears did when they moved back from pick 1 to allow the Carolina Panthers to draft Bryce Young with the first overall pick in 2023. And just the price is outrageous. So, yes, you know, the Saints, and I know that the Cam Ward soundbite was kind of floating around there on social media, especially Twitter, where he's just like, oh, I would love to play for the Saints and all that good stuff.
But that was a press conference in New Orleans, too.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes. So, at the same time, the price tag it would take to move up to get Cam Ward, you better be certain that he is the guy and going to be a stud for a very long time.
We opened the show talking about Brandon Cooks. He met with the local media today and will be a guest on Sports Talk tomorrow. Let's hear a little bit of what Brandon Cooks had to say as he was introduced for a second time as a member of the Black and Gold.
Brandon, I know this NFL journey can always be, you know, you can't predict things, but would you have envisioned coming back to the Saints at any point in your career?
You always, you know, keep the bridge there. You just never know, right? Especially in my career, just some of the changes, you know, you never count that out for sure.
What do you bring back to the franchise? Obviously wiser and a more seasoned veteran, yeah, and a guy who's seen a lot of things.
Well, yeah, you know, you answered that for me. Definitely seen a lot of, you know, great football, you know, for myself, just elevated my game, obviously, over the years, you know, since being here. So I look forward to, you know, from the playmaking standpoint, but also just the leadership aspect, bringing back to the locker room, not just only the receiver room, but as a team overall.
Hey, Brandon, this is like the first time in your career that you've been able to kind of choose your own destination.
Yeah.
What was that process kind of like for you?
That was fun. You know, it was for me, it was different. Obviously, usually, you know, you wake up after the season and you know where you're going to be. But to go through this process was a good learning process. It was a fun one. And I'm just glad to, you know, get it over with so I can focus on the task at hand, and that's playing football.
From a leadership aspect, being a guy that's been around for a while, coming into like a younger room, what do you feel like you can bring to these guys as you know, the vet through your perspective and journey and the things you've learned?
I just think learning, you know, through how to approach the game, you know, from my younger years to now, approaching the game in such a totally different aspect, because obviously, you know, more you got more knowledge, you got more wisdom, and then just your process on, you know, doing as best as you can, taking care of your body, the things that matter the most, you know, staying on the field. So being able to hopefully give them some of that game and then also on the field as well, and just how to play with one another is going to be important.
What do you think about the situation you're stepping into here now with the Saints?
I think we got a great room. I think you talk about CO, like I said, she blazing. CO can, you know, can run any route and set. So I think we got a great room from that aspect. And it seemed like a lot of guys from the outside, a lot of unselfishness. And I think that's important to start off with. Guys just want to win, obviously take care of business, and let everything else kind of handle itself.
Did I hear right that you have a previous relationship with Keith Williams?
Yeah, so Keith actually is from Stockton, California as well, obviously a lot older than me. And so he more so knew my brothers, but he's been recruiting me since I was 17 years old. You know, he's at Fresno. Keith, I'm not going to Fresno. And then got in the league and, you know, never really had the opportunity to work with each other, you know, during the season. So I look forward to that because I really do believe he's the best receiver coach in the league. Just doing what he's done with his guys and guys off the field are not necessarily on his team as well over the years.
What are your impressions of Derek?
Oh, I mean, Derek, we're same class. You know, I've known Derek for a long time from Northern California as well. He can throw any ball, tough, you know, tough cat, and a great leader. You talk about a guy who does so much, you know, for his team and off the field and in the community, another believer, you know, just a great human being, but also a guy that can, you know, play at the highest level and has been doing that throughout his career.
Do you have any thoughts on Kellen Moore's offense in general? Obviously, you saw the Eagles twice this year.
Yeah, I mean, he won a Super Bowl, and so, you know, you got to be doing something right. But I think just how he uses everyone, I mean, even back to, I think about when he was with the Cowboys, Chargers, he used all his pieces to their strengths, not just the receivers, but the backs. He has a unique balance, you know, from his pass game and his run game, and I think we got one of the best backs in the league in AK. So I think he can be, I think it will be great, and is, you know, it's going to be great kind of getting used to that throughout April and OTAs and kind of seeing what that flow is going to be like.
Brandon, I'm sure this is probably one that falls in the, oh, I'll reflect on that another time, but looks like you could get to 10,000 this year. Is that a number that kind of blows your mind a little bit?
I'm blowing my mind. Not really, should have been there already, but you know, a few things here and there, but that'll take care of itself. I really believe that. It'll be the day to, like you said, reflect on that when it's all said and done. But a lot of time before that. So not really think about that.
You heard Cooks being asked at the end there about getting to 10,000 yards receiving in his career, currently sitting at 9,532. Obviously dealt with a little bit of injuries throughout his career, missed some time, so feels he should be there already. Definitely could easily eclipse that in black and gold next year. Like I said, he's going to be a guest on Sports Talk tomorrow. Make sure you tune in with Mike Dettillier, 4:20 on Tuesday. Brandon Cooks will stop by WWL Saints Radio. We're going to take a break as we get ready for the Pelicans hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off right here on WWL. Be back with more after this. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Before we get on out of here, I want to give you an update on the LSU women's basketball team. They are putting it to the Seminoles right now. LSU up 77-55, a minute left in the third quarter for LSU to advance to the Sweet 16 tournament. Hoping the Tigers can close things out here. Florida State is actually the second scoring team in the nation, and LSU putting it to them right now. So hopefully they can keep the pedal to the metal there in the PMAC. Tomorrow, 6:30, we're going to have some LSU baseball for you. It's an in-state matchup when the Tigers take on University of Louisiana Lafayette, Raging Cajuns in Alec Box Stadium. We will join first pitch at 6:30 right here on WWLAMFM.com and the free Odyssey app. Tomorrow on Sports Talk, like I mentioned, Brandon Cooks will be dropping by. We'll also be talking some LSU baseball with former Tiger Mikey Matuk before we get into LSU baseball taking on the Raging Cajuns. Have a great night, everyone. I'm Steve Geller for Charlie Long, telling you to have a great one and stay tuned for Pelicans basketball right after this on WWL.